Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM, Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Carjackings, a shooting inside a county high school, and many other law and order issues. Tonight, we're talking with Montgomery County Police Chief Marcus Jones. We have a lot to discuss with him, and I'm sure you do too. Lines are open if you have a comment or if you have a question for Montgomery County Police Chief Jones at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. As always, we take your questions all the way up until 8 o'clock. And you can tweet me at HFisherWHUR or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Chief Jones, thank you so much for joining the conversation.
Thank you, Harold. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. I want to start, first of all, with an issue that made the headlines earlier this year and some of the extenuating circumstances that have since come up regarding the shooting at Magruder High School. You specifically wanted to talk about this, and there are some other things, of course, SROs and school safety that have come up in the wake of that. But first of all, talk to me about your understanding of where this case is right now and why this happened.
Yeah, Harold, this disturbing incident, of course, happened at Magruder High School inside. It actually happened in the boys' restroom. I think what's probably very disturbing where we are with this investigation is we do have the young man who is responsible for pulling the trigger, we believe. On that particular day, we did recover, of course, a ghost gun near when that individual was placed under arrest after the school had been placed in a lockdown, and we began trying to figure out exactly what happened that day. But the victim, who was also a young man, a young student at the school, he is recovering from his injuries. He was actually shot. And was in very critical condition during the course of his hospital stay, but my understanding is that he is doing much better. Why it happened, we believe that this was a mere dispute between these two. They're getting more into the details of trying to figure out what the dispute was all about. But unfortunately, a ghost gun was purchased by someone. It was actually delivered to the young man who was involved in this, who has been charged, and he brought it to school, and therefore he actually utilized that in our school. So that was very troubling. Mm.
One of the things that was also troubling about this is that there were other students who witnessed this, and that they took pictures, they took video, they streamed it on social media, but a point that you made during the press conference was that none of them called the police. None of them reported it to a teacher, a faculty member, a principal. Talk to me a little bit about that and your thoughts about that issue since it happened.
Yeah, that really kind of when I zeroed down on what had occurred, and once that information was relayed to me and we witnessed some of that information being put out on social media, and yet we had no notification from any of these students, I found that to be troubling, but it was not the first time that I've seen this.
Hmm.
And what sparked it was because it wasn't the first time I've seen it, not the only time that I've seen it. We've seen it in other incidents where we've had violent attacks and where individuals who needed medical assistance, and I'm talking about serious attacks, that individuals who are basically fighting for their lives, just like this young man was at Magruder that day. And then to have where we are in our society, to have young people, particularly young people, but, you know, again, this happens in our adults. We're seeing in an adult population as well, where we are, in fact, the primary objective is to actually put these incidents by filming them and placing them on our social media accounts and not notifying any medical authority or any person of authority in order to get some help to these individuals, as well as to address the perpetrators. And for me, it's mostly about getting the medical assistance that's needed first and foremost. We can address the other part later, but I think most importantly, we have to get this. And so I think it's a discussion that we in our society have to start having around the family kitchen table and talking with our friends, and particularly talking about to young people, that this is not where we want to be in our society. We want to make sure we are first and foremost looking out for our fellow human in order to make sure that we're getting them the help they need in the highest times of need.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking to Montgomery County Police Chief Marcus Jones about a myriad of law and order issues in the county. If you have a comment, if you have a question, give us a call. We will be taking your phone calls all the way up until 8 o'clock. Let me grab a quick phone call. Let's talk to Charles. Now, Charles calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Charles. What's on your mind?
Yes, good evening. Thanks for taking the call. I just wanted to ask the chief, what is it do you think his department can do? I'm 47, and I remember when I was growing up in the district as well as in Prince George's County, officers were more involved in the community. You know, you had more Boy Scout clubs. You had you just had them more engaged. And even though things have kind of transpired in a downward direction over the last decade or two with things involving police and people within the community, they were seen differently. And so I just think that if we kind of go back to basics and, you know, I guess start with a younger generation that elementary and middle school age, get more officers involved in doing community events, whether it's cycling, whether it's rowing, I mean something, opposed to just coming and responding when there's an incident. We have to find a way to get you know, the values that we espouse our young people to have, we have to show them. And they're not seeing them, as you mentioned with, you know, the adults. You know, our children are actors. They act out what they see. And so if the adults are displaying a certain behavior, then so are our children.
Chief, your thoughts about what Charles is asking?
Charles, I agree with you 100%. I think that engagement is largely a role. It's not the only thing in policing, and I think, but I think it's a significant role about positive engagement with our young people. You're right. I think we need to do more of that. We've tried in so many ways to try to do some engagement, but, you know, relationship building is powerful. I believe, and I think you have to have a relationship with young people and community members, because then that allows for that barrier to be brought down so that we can have some positive outcomes and not that be talking about a lot of the negativity that we talk about surrounding our young people a lot. So I agree with you wholeheartedly. I support these types of programs. We're working in the county to try to enhance that. I am working, we've just created a community resources bureau to try to figure out ways to do more of this engagement. And it is one of the things I am committed to doing because I've always been a supporter of programs like the Police Athletic League and other programs that have done these community outreaches into our schools and beyond, and I think we need to do more of that.
Okay. Charles, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking to Montgomery County Police Chief Marcus Jones about law and order issues in the county. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call. Tammy, calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, I have a lot to say.
Sometimes we don't have a lot of time, so let's try to keep it condensed, but go right ahead.
Okay, well, first of all, I want to give the chief my number to call me.
Let's not do that on the air. I'll make sure that our producer grabs your phone number after you make your comment. We don't want the whole world calling you, but go right ahead, please, Tammy.
I'm going through a lot, too, that I don't feel that the cops are doing their jobs either. And Chief Jones is the one that, what's his name? Richard Elwidge, or whatever it is. What did you call him? The, I guess he's
County executive. County executive.
Mark Elrich.
Yeah, Elrich.
Yes. Okay, remember, so go me? Ahead. Yeah.
Well, anyway, Elrich told you to take care of something, and you put your other cop on, and all he did was got the information from me. He got all my things and stuff where the cops was following me, harassing me, and these kids was watching that also. And I had tried to talk to the kids about that. Like the guy said before, they go by what they see, okay? And to them, they don't trust you anymore because they feel that you're hurting them too, you know, because you're not doing your job as far as helping them or stopping a lot of things. And to them, I had told them, I said, well, call the police. And they was like, huh, for what?
Well, Tammy, like I said, we don't have a lot of time, and your issue seems to be really hyper-specific. Chief, unless you want to comment on this, I'll make sure that the producer once again gets her name and passes this on. But do you have any thoughts?
Sure. We'll be happy to talk to her at some point, Errol. Absolutely.
Okay. Our producer, Tammy, will get your information, and we can pass that on to the chief. But thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking to Marcus Jones, the chief of Montgomery County Police, about law and order issues in the county. If you have a comment or question, give us a call. Chief, one of the other things that is still a big issue in the county related to schools is SROs. Where are you as this issue continues to be debated in the county?
So Harold, where I am and what we have been doing, we have come together with Montgomery County Public Schools to create what we now call a community engagement officer program, no longer the school resource officer program, formerly known as SROs here in Montgomery County. They're now CEOs. And these community engagement officers are actually assigned to a high school cluster. We have 26 high schools in the county. I believe we have about 23 to 24 clusters that are designed, that these are feeder schools. They go to our high schools, and we still have officers who are assigned as these cluster officers, that they are responsible for particular high schools and all of the schools that feed into them. We have an MOU with Montgomery County Public Schools. I've worked diligently and my staff with Dr. Monifa McKnight, the superintendent, as well as her staff, to create what we think is a program that is fair and equitable. We don't have the officers in our schools full time, but they are responsible for a certain set of responses to crimes, and we also have now created that they will have higher visibility at our high schools, particularly in the high traffic times such as the mornings, lunchtime, and dismissal. So we created some more specific rules, and again, most importantly, the police, we want to make sure people understand we are not at all involved in any issue that surrounds discipline. In fact, I've made some significant changes to the types of crimes that we actually even address. For example, I no longer have our officers get involved in any marijuana arrests at our schools. We no longer, in fact, in Maryland, it's a civil offense, and I don't even have our officers get involved in that. I allow the school system to deal with that from a disciplinary process. We will come in and seize the drugs and for destruction, but we will no longer be involved in arresting individuals unless they're involved in a felony case of distribution or large amounts of drugs. So that's an example of some changes that we've created with this new program called the Community Engagement Officer Program.
Do you think it is better, more effective than the previous SRO program?
Well, I think from this perspective. I look at there have been, as there's been much debate about this in Montgomery County, and the county executive wanted, he wanted the officers out of the schools. I've said this to the county executive, I stand by this, that I really do believe that community engagement is an important role that the SRO had in visibility and sharing of information, because we have been able to prevent some incidents from happening in years past because SROs had positive relationships with some of, with our students. And so I understand where people get, are upset about what they think is over-policing in our schools. And this is why we wanted a new design where we would work with MCPS from a disciplinary standpoint, that they would be more engaged on their end and take those responsibilities and not criminalize every incident that happens. And therefore, we've designated what particular incidents that we would investigate. From that perspective, I think it is better. I think we did have to make some tweaks to it that demonstrated that we needed more visibility. Well, I think we do need it. And in fact, the school principals have, particularly the high school principals, have been very supportive and have demanded more of that visibility. I think that is going to be the way for some high schools. That is very important for them. And I think that is important in today's environment. So from that perspective, I feel very confident about where we're going with this program.
Need to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Michelle calling from Virginia, Edward calling from D.C., and Jay calling from Germantown. So please do not hang up. You will be able to hear the program. And the lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm. That's on WHUR. I'm Harold Fisher. We'll be back on SiriusXM Channel 141 in just a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drama on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we're talking to Montgomery County Police Chief Marcus Jones about law and order, public safety issues in the county. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Michelle calling from Virginia. Thanks for calling, Michelle. What's on your mind?
I was listening to, everything, what everyone is saying. And ultimately, we forget that it goes back to the parents originally. We need to put the parent back into parenting. Because a lot of the issues, which, some don't want to take accountability for, it starts in the household. And, of course now, I grew up with, mom stayed at home, dad working. So now, parents can afford to be, most parents can't afford to stay at home. But ultimately, there is a distrust between the community and police and, how we're being policed. But we all need to take accountability for what's going on in our community. I grew up with the grandmothers on the porch who pretty much policed the neighborhood. You know what you couldn't do. They knew your parents. I had 13 aunts and uncles. And
so let me stop you right there. And I appreciate that. But that's not happening anymore. Grandma's not on the porch anymore, and Grandma will get cussed out by the kids in the neighborhood. You know that. This is 2022. This is a different world now. And while I agree, yes, that we should put a lot of the responsibility on the parents, particularly in the case of the issue with Magruder High School about why. Students should be afraid of other students to the point where they have to bring a gun to school, ghost guns or otherwise. I get it. But I think that the nostalgia of the past, been there, done that, is not coming back. And so I think that there needs to be new parenting strategies, new ideas and the like, which is why we have the chief on this evening.
But I agree with that as well. It's never going to be the way it used to be. But also, we didn't grow up in the era of social media where, there's 3-year-olds who know how to get on the internet and, search for certain things. These children grow up in almost numb to shock culture. Like, they're so used to seeing the violence that instead of, like you said, picking up, you know, the phone or calling 911, they'd rather, you know, it's been shared out 100 times before it even gets to a teacher or before it gets to, you know, emergency. Like, there's a disconnect somewhere, and I'm not sure when that disconnect started, but, you know, we can't always, as a community, we can't just blame the police. It's not just the police. It's also us. If, you know, we need to take accountability
okay.
for our part in it.
Okay, well, let me see what the chief... Thank you, Michelle. Chief, do you have a reaction to what Michelle is saying, and do you believe that in some way, shape, or form, police may have a role in addressing some of these issues regarding the youngest perpetrators of crime?
Well, I think what I would love to see, right, as much as we want to talk about solutions, I want to be on the preventive end,
mm-hmm.
that we're not waiting for something to happen. And being on that end of it means there has to be some involvement, as Michelle is talking about, with parents. And it really, you know, when we talk about it takes a village, right, there's lots of people in the village. And we sometimes look at policing as the last resort. And because that becomes sort of the punishment stage, you might say, for those if it comes to that. And not that that has to always be the solution to an arrest or from that perspective, unless, you know, depending upon the violation. But I think, you know, we're in this place from community that we need to all come together collectively and engage with these kids in many different ways. I mean, we know that there's some kids who need it more than others. There are some kids that I know, particularly in the African-American community, who have tremendous parents who are engaged and positive outcomes are often in great grades and school activities and the like. But then there's some things that we see that there's a disconnect. And I think we have to work with those families where there is a disconnect to provide more services or to help them, to guide them to again, making sure that our young people are becoming productive members of our society.
Michelle, thank you so much for your phone call. Chief, before I go back to the phone lines, I did want to talk about this other issue that is plaguing not just Montgomery County. This is a region-wide thing. You were part of this task force regarding carjacking. What is going on with the carjacking? Even today, carjackings, and this was in D.C., this wasn't a Montgomery County thing, but, you know, there was a robbery, a smash and grab robbery in Georgetown, and mm-hmm. D.C. police mm-hmm. chased them all mm-hmm. the way down the G.W. Parkway, and they caught them. But you've got the carjacking issue in Montgomery County like you have everywhere else. You've got the smash and grab robberies in Montgomery mm-hmm. County, Bethesda, just like everybody else. What's the plan?
Well, we want to figure out, right, when we want to get to a root cause of why is this happening. I will tell you, you know, as I've talked to the other police chiefs in our region, we've talked about this often as we're putting, you know, things to address the problem. But what I want to know is what the root cause. I think we all want the same thing. What I believe, Harold, I really do believe this wholeheartedly, that I think a lot of these young people are just simply misguided. And this has become a game. This has become a challenge that some of these young people have put forth with each other. I don't know if we remember I remember in the 70s and the 80s, particularly for those young people who used to be involved in auto thefts and just stealing cars to joy riding purposes, right? No particular rhyme or reason, just for the fact that you could do it in an attempt to get away with it. That appears to be a large motivation of these individuals, and sometimes to add to it these additional robberies that are occurring in order to gain some value from those robberies with
sticking people up at ATMs or, you know, going into these high-priced stores, because we find a lot of times that the vehicles that they're utilizing are carjacked vehicles. But, you know, when we were covering these carjacked vehicles, we know that these young people weren't actually trying to sell them for monetary gain. It was simply they were taking them and dumping them in other parts of the region. So this is my take on it, that I really think that it's becoming an unfortunate part of their thinking, and I think it's just totally misguided.
Let me go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Jay, calling from Germantown, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yeah, thank you to give me an opportunity to explain something to a chief police.
Yes, go right ahead.
We think in Montgomery County, a system like a racist come to police level. If you don't know if you are black, and then you have a problem, and they're saying you white police officer, they will hang up you even if you call them for help. I be victim twice, and both of them. The first one, I was driving when somebody come from my right eye and hit my mirror. But when I tried to talk to him, he become violent. I called police for protect. But when police come, it was two white police officers. And they say, oh, sir, you have to take a picture. I want to take a picture when I find out the insurance is expired. But I will try to explain to police, oh, that guy's insurance is expired. They say, sir, you take it or we hang up you. I say, hey, for what?
Well, Jay, let's not get down into the weeds of your particular situation, because we have a lot of people on the call. But I think your point is that you are concerned about race relations between community and the police department. And this has been an issue over the past several years, even pre-pandemic, Chief Jones, and the big issue that came up even in the midst of the pandemic was police reform. What do you say to residents like Jay, who are concerned about race relations, particularly with black and brown people in the county? Mm-hmm. How do you address that?
So, first of all, as Jay was talking about what he felt like he was not given for proper police a response or service in response to the problem that he was having, I would say to Jay that I would want to, I want to make sure that we are transparent in our service, and that we're providing the best service to all of our community members. All of our officers wear body-worn cameras. We're able to see the interaction that they have with any citizen. And if you have a problem with an officer who did not give you the proper response, if you felt that you were treated in a different way because of your race, I want to know about that. And I want that to be, and we are going to investigate that if we deem that one of our officers is not treating people fairly. It is clear to me, right, that we want to be, again, transparent in today's environment, particularly as a result of police reform, is that we are, again, I explain this to our officers all the time. I have high expectations of their performance. And when they don't meet that, then we are going to address that through a disciplinary process, because at the end of the day, you know, it does not matter what anyone looks like, and you know, we want to be able to address their problem and treat them with the utmost amount of respect from start to finish. And when we fail in that regard, then we need to address that, and I need to know about that. So I encourage our community that when that happens, to please contact us. And I will make sure that we address that wholeheartedly.
Okay. Jay, thank you so much for your phone call. Let's go to Edward calling from D.C. Edward, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Good evening. Mr. Fisher, this question is directed towards you. You're an excellent journalist. I'm a journalist as well. I came up working for the Washington Informer and the Washington Post.
Okay.
Here's the point. The kids, these young people, first of all, they're afraid of the police. I think we've already established that on this program, and I think for good reason. They're also afraid of each other. You have that whole dynamic of snitches get stitches. Mm-hmm. But the bottom line is a journalist, Ms. Fisher, wouldn't you agree that anytime we have a program on air like yours, this great drum program that's been in the city for 30 years or more, we should have their voices heard. I keep hearing the chief and others say, well, we don't know what's on their mind, with all respect. We don't know where they're coming from. They're not talking, you know, they don't, you know, obey the older people anymore. Why? We don't hear their voices, Mr.
Well, let me address that, because I think that you make a great point, and while I would defend that, I don't think it's a bad point, and we can get down into the weeds of that. The young people that we have had on this program are usually the young people who don't have problems with the police.
Exactly.
Hold on.
Okay, go ahead.
But getting the young people who do and who have had conflicts with the police, when they, you know, may have had checkered pasts of their own, and getting that kind of cooperation, while not impossible, would be extremely difficult.
Right. But,
because getting straight A students on this program with parents' permission is not hard. But getting you know, young people who are not going to school, who may be likely to take a gun to school and the like. But I don't disagree that I think that may not be a bad idea at all to try to do that. It may take some time. I need to talk to the boss about that. I'm sure she's listening and already thinking about it, even as we're having this discussion. Because I think that, you know, short of the people whose salaries are being paid by taxpayers' money, i.e. Chief Jones and Chief Conti and others. Mm-hmm. And we do need to hear from them, because those are the ones who are ultimately responsible. But I don't disagree that is a good idea. Getting that done may be a heavy lift, but not necessarily impossible. But with that said, Chief, I'm sure that you had an opportunity to speak to some of your officers who have boots on the ground, who have spoken to young people. Indeed, for example, some of the students, for example, at Magruder. But Magruder notwithstanding, what have you heard? What are they saying?
Oh yeah, the point, the caller's point is well taken, but I would say that, though in a general sense, you know, the statement is made about young people afraid to talk to the police, I don't find that absolutely true. There are young people who actually will converse with police officers, and do with some of my officers, particularly some of the high schools that we've had over the years. Particularly, I can name multiple high schools where I have got officers who have direct conversations, and I have students who come to me and said, hey, I knew Officer Gregory at Northwest High School, and he helped me with this particular problem. My mom was a single parent, and he helped me and guided me as I was, you know, in the school and dealing with some issues. We do study circles. We've done study circles in some of our high schools to have those conversations and listen. And again, this is an important part. Listen to the students to hear what they have to say, not talk at them. Listen to what they have to say and engage those ways. This is what we need to grow. And we all need to grow it in all professions, not just policing, but I would even say from within our school system and even in our community, that we need to have a broader discussion about these very things. And this Friday, for example, we are starting a basketball league that we're going to do. And part of this is, yes, the kids are going to be there playing basketball on a Friday night after dark. But while we're there, we're going to have these discussions with the young people so we can better understand what's happening out in the community.
Edward, thank you.
We're not going to give up.
Yeah. Oh, Edward, thank you so much for calling in and sharing your thoughts and your ideas. I really appreciate it.
15 seconds. Listen.
Real quick, because I've got another call. Go ahead, real quick.
Unnamed sources, think of it as 60 minutes. You can protect the identity. I would suggest, Chief, those kids who are talking to the police, That's what Mr. Fisher is saying. These are your A students. We need the guys with the pants hanging down who don't want to talk to police. We need to put the mic in front of their face, give them anonymity, and let's see what's really happening.
Okay. Edward, thank you again. I really appreciate your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tony, calling from Bowie. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hello. Thanks for having me take my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to ask the chief one question. Out of curiosity, I would just like to know, has there been an increase in car accidents because of the legalization of marijuana?
I don't know if we have the data. We do have statistics that say that we've had an increase. Again, when we look at our numbers, we have to kind of understand, you know, having gone through this pandemic, that we're starting to see, you know, the roadways kind of coming back to normal. We're comparing data now. I will say to you that some of my officers are encountering more people who are under the influence of marijuana driving. We're starting to see a little bit of an increase in that. But I can't say for sure that that's all collision related.
Well, one thing I can say, you can certainly smell it driving.
Yes, you can.
You know, I mean, you know, whether you're driving through, you know, Montgomery County, Prince George's County, Florida Avenue, New York. I mean,
you're right.
You know, it's, you know, the smell of exhaust has certainly changed in the area. Tony, thank you so much for your phone call. Chief, I do want to talk about the increase in crime and violence in downtown Silver Spring. To what do you attribute that, and what is the plan to address that?
So, yeah, thanks, Harold. So we have, you know, over the latter part of 2021, clearly we began to see an uptick in some serious crimes in downtown Silver Spring, not only, as you talked about earlier, with carjackings, but with shootings, has been a significant increase that's been very troubling on the streets of Silver Spring. And we've been working diligently with the Silver Spring Chamber of Commerce and many of the communities, the residential communities, even in downtown Silver Spring, the businesses, as well as the politicians, to come up with some solutions to address this. I'm happy to say that we put together a task force to have higher visibility to address some of this. We've actually had some success where we've actually seen too many guns, I should say, in that particular downtown area. But we'll continue to provide that higher visibility, and we're also working with many of our businesses to provide more cameras on our streets in order to be able to identify the bad behavior. But what I want to do is I want to prevent the bad behavior from happening. And I think I think there was this feeling among some that the police had kind of let their guard down, and so the individuals felt like they had the power to kind of have this lawlessness attitude to some degree, and maybe there's some truth to that. But we changed that, and I think that we're starting to turn the corner, and we're starting to see less crime in downtown Silver Spring, particularly violent crime, over the past month or so.
Does that mean more highly visible officers in downtown Silver Spring?
Yes, in some cases, it's not the only answer, but it is one of the parts of the solution that we put. One thing we discovered was that we have a very vibrant nightlife in downtown Silver Spring into the early morning hours. And what I do know is the fact that I've been knowing this for quite some time, myself having previously served as the commander of downtown Silver Spring, was the fact that we did not add more resources to the adjustment of adding more people in the population living in apartments in downtown Silver Spring, which is a higher population, as well as the nightlife activity that really needed more safety and security. So that is a need that we're addressing, and I think we'll continue to
work towards that solution, and I think it'll be a winning solution for us in the long run.
Okay. William, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, William. What's on your mind?
Yeah. Hey, how you doing, Herbert?
I'm good.
Hey, look, I don't know what happened. Something crossed my mind when this young gentleman called a couple of minutes ago. He was a reporter, and he had brought up an idea about wanting to hear the young people's voices.
Mm-hmm.
So what caught my mind was, I know, you know, Howard University students go away every year for Helping Hands go out in the communities and all.
Yeah, they're there now.
Yeah, and what I was saying personally, I would love to see some of the students here at Howard go out to some of the, have like a round table out in some of these communities out in Southeast, Northeast, and have a round table dialogue with the police officers and with the youth around their age, and just sit down and just, you know, and soak some information in with some of these young people around their age, can, you know, sort of like see where they're coming from and just hear their voices. And I think that would be a great opportunity for some of the students at Howard to go out here in the community in D.C. and give back and let these young people in D.C. that's having these problems with the, you know, police officers and all, and maybe some of these young people learning from Howard, you know, decide they might change their life and want to go to school. You know, look, every little thing, you know, we need help from all angles, you know what I mean?
Well, let me tell you this, William, because I think, again, another great idea, and I don't have all of the details about that, but I know, you know, Helping Hands, for example, has been around now for some 28 years, and they do have projects not just in, for example, you know, New Orleans and Detroit and Memphis, but they are doing things in Baltimore City. They're doing things in D.C. This year, there are some 400 students who are a part of that, but certainly 400 isn't enough. And even outside of Helping Hands, historically, as long as I've been here, I know that students have been participating in some of the social sciences studies and community activity, you know, as my mother would say, don't start me to lying. But I know that they have done some things, but, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean that, that, you know, for their own edification and for the community, that that they can't do more. And so certainly another great idea that can be floated. And, of course, with, you know, our motto here, truth and service, I think that does go along with what you're suggesting. So, again, thank you. Thank you so much, William, for suggesting that. It every little bit helps. Chief, in the last few minutes, I did want to ask you about recruitment. I know that at one of your press conferences, they all kind of run together because there's so many, and I know that happens for you. But you did speak a while back about increasing the size of the police department and how to balance that with retaining officers, dealing with retirement and other things. And today, D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser and Chief Robert Conte joined this 30 by 30 initiative, hiring more women. Mm-hmm. Your thoughts about recruiting more women in the department? I mean, I know that's a layup question, but if you could drill down a little bit more about the possibilities of doing that, whether you want to join the initiative or just, you know, on your own recruit more women for the department.
Yeah, I mean, I am totally committed, as you stated, Harold, I mean, basically to add more women to the department. And I'll express one of my strategies in which we're doing is not only just adding women, but also because in Montgomery County, we are just a very diverse community, as you well know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also looking at hiring more diverse officers as well. And so the way that I really have I've pinpointed one of the things that I think have been successful but really wanting to grow it is to be able to have our own homegrown talent established right here from Montgomery County become a part of Montgomery County Police. We have a cadet program that where we have started where we actually pay The cadets, because in Montgomery County, we require them to have 2 years of college minimum, or you have 3 years of military. But from the basis of trying to get help people with their college education, we pay them a part-time salary, basically half of the starting salary of our recruits while they're in college. And as they're moving towards that minimum qualification, and really they only are working 20 hours a week. They work from September through May. We give them the summer off. But what we're trying to do is to help them become acclimated and really see a firsthand view of what the environment of being a police officer is about and working in that environment. And so this has been productive for us as we begin to see some positive results of adding more diverse and adding more women to our department. So I want to help continue that to grow. But as we continue to do our recruitment across not only just this area, the region, but as we go into other states and cities, we're trying to still do the same thing. And there are so many jobs and opportunity for women in our profession, and the opportunities that on not only just being a police officer, but as well as our professional staff. But we want, and I'm committed to making that part of our diversity grow.
Montgomery County Police Chief Marcus Jones, thank you for talking to us, sir. I appreciate your time, and be safe.
Darryl, thank you so much. Have a great evening.
You too. That is the Daily Drum for this Monday, March 7th. I'm Harold Fisher. Good night.